man. There's a beverage here, huh?
Does anybody here know how many times I've had to watch Funny Lady?
I'm gonna get that gun of mine, and I'm gonna change you from a rooster to a hen with one shot.
Hello, frightening listeners. You're listening to the Halloween episode of Who Shot Ya? I'm your host, Iffy Whiteyway, and we have a couple of folks in the booth this week. And starting, you know her, you love her, you adore her, you love her some more. It's producer and Films Festival programmer, Drea Clark. What's good?
Yeah, they love me some more.
Yeah.
So what's good? I knew it was going to be our Halloween episode, mm-hmm. and so I was casting my mind, like already thinking of staff picks and looking online and refreshing, like, are there classic movies I love, like blah, blah. And what I stumbled across and what I remembered and was definitely good is a few years ago, someone did a fake trailer of The Shining as a rom-com, and it includes like the full like Peter Gabriel Salisbury Hill, like dun, 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 dun. Jack's a lonely writer in the city,
yes!
just trying to. And I rewatched that crying, and then it led me to Mrs. Doubtfire trailer as a horror film, and I was like, both of those things are spot on.
Yeah.
The joy they gave me. It's one of those like, oh, remember how we like parts of the internet? Like
yeah.
people flexing
when the internet was
weird
fun.
Skills. Yes. So those were very what's good for me. And I highly recommend getting your little search engine YouTube on for The Shining rom-com and Mrs. Doubtfire horror.
Ooh.
That's what's good.
Oh, I like it. I like it. We also have freelance writer whose work can be read on The Hollywood Reporter, Teen Vogue, Playboy, and many others, Joelle Monique.
Hey.
What's good?
Actually, Ryan Murphy is still really good at making TV. and if you haven't seen The Politician on Netflix, it's so gay. So gay. All of the gay, we have bisexual boys and lesbian girls and like genderqueer folks. And it's so good. I love gay culture, and I feel like we don't always get to embrace it authentically, and Ryan always does. He's just, like, out there and proud, and The Politician's really good, guys. I love it so much.
Watch
it.
She's full fluttering.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good.
I know. I haven't checked it out yet, but I'll have to, after that review.
It stars Broadway people singing. This is all you need to know.
Yeah, yeah. We also have comedian, writer, and director Luce Tomlin Brenner. What's good?
Hello.
Hey.
What's good with me is I recently made a trip to Burbank's Halloween Town.
Yes.
Have
you
been there? It is a all year round.
I assumed you had like a cot set up there.
Don't kill them. It's actually like a creepy like pull down attic
Good.
Thing
yes.
where the ladder comes and I creep up there and I hide out while the store's open, and then when it's closed I Phantom of the Opera through it.
Much better.
All year round it's open, and it's stocked full of so much good stuff. It's not like a spirit. It's like super high quality spooky things all year round. And I got myself one of my favorite things I've ever bought there, which are these like Halloween Michael Myers inspired like paper decorations that were modeled after the like Beastel 1920s, 1930 Halloween decorations. So it's like Michael Myers and like the Halloween pumpkin that's specific, but it looks like Beastel. So it has those oranges and those blacks and oh God, it's gorgeous. And so it's like 7 or 8 flat like paper decorations that you can hang up like in an elementary school. But they're incredible, and they're by a company called Trick or Treat Studios, and they do all kinds of weird vintagey throwback things that are like secretly dark.
When we got here, I told Luce that I had been watching this season of The Great British Bake Off, and there is this like delightful, like super feminine goth baker who Luce is the American version of.
Yes.
I'm not saying what you're baking, but it's very much the same tone.
Thank you. Yes, I like to do a little bit of like arsenic with like frilly flowers.
I mean, I like that we made Phantom of the Opera a verb. It was like,
yes,
yeah, you're going to go in there and
solid.
Be Phantom of the Opera-ing.
yeah, you know, that's how I'm always have a cape and half my face is covered with a beautiful mask.
You can't see me.
Iffy, what's good with you?
Oh, what is good with me?
Other than you get to do this with three ladies.
Oh, my
tonight.
Gosh. You know, I love being surrounded by women at all times. And I mean that in a, like, fun way, not even a horny way. I realized as I was saying it, it's like, oh, it sounds like if you say it's no, I mean, in general. General.
In a feminist way.
Yeah, yeah. I like pointed it out I did a video that's not out yet for BuzzFeed where it's like single dudes answer women's question. And like I made a point to be like, yeah, men need to surround themselves around women because you get that POV and it really helps in the long run. Anyway, can you tell I grew up around women?
Good boy.
What's good with me? Real hyped off of this pre-workout I got. It's real great. It's always great, too, when I'm buying pre-workout because, like, I feel like they don't know if I want, like, just really good pre-workout or steroids because he came in and was like, what do you want? I was like, you know, I have a pre-workout now, but it's really not giving.
You keep saying that. Like, it made more sense to me when she used Phantom the Opera as a verb than you using pre-workout.
I thought
like
you were
this.
Talking about shopping at first, and then I was like, is it a body sculpt thing? What is
okay,
happening?
So pre-workout is, like, a powder you put into water
in
a drink.
Oh, I was thinking powder. Do I get that thing first?
Yes. And you drink
star.
It.
Thank you.
And you typically, in most pre-workouts, you're looking for three things. You're looking for energy, focus, and a pump. I've been switching around because I've been searching for a new bae because lots of times you typically only use some for a bit because maybe like a chemical in it has been banned by the FDA, so you can no longer use it. And so like that's I went in and the guy he was like, yeah, man. He's like, and it was so funny because I was like, oh, what am I about to get? Because I was like, yeah, you know, I got this from Amazon. It's not as great. He's like, yeah. He's like, because Amazon has to follow all those FDA regulations before they put all this stuff. He's like, you need that good stuff.
And so he just like pulled out a drawer and a handful of powder.
And I bought
like,
that shit
envelope.
So quick.
Oh
I'm
my
like,
God,
yes.
If he no.
Yes. Yes, baby. Let's go.
The FDA
let's get
is there
pumped.
For your safety.
Nah. I read that book. It's an older book. Don't worry. The Shacha fam is going to let us know which book it was. They know which one I'm talking about. But it's essentially the book that like ended up helping create the FDA. Anyway, today's show. We're going to be talking about Tales from the Hood. We're going to have a call from the Who Shot line and, of course, as always, staff picks. But first, since it's our Halloween episode, we're going to do some very scary. We're going to do something very scary. We're changing up the format of the show. Type A, beware. Instead of Itadick today, our mysterious and frightening producer, Casey, is going to introduce us to a little game he'd like us all to play. Casey, please explain the game.
Oh my God. She was on time.
Welcome to my house, man.
Hi, guys. I have invited you all here to my scary and giant mansion in the middle of the woods at the stroke of midnight to participate in a little game I've concocted. This game will decide your fate on the show and maybe your very lives. The rules are simple. I will play a few seconds of some of my favorite horror movie trailers, and you must guess what the film is. If you are wrong, you will hear this noise.
I hate it.
And if you are right, you'll hear this noise. There is a chance to steal when someone is incorrect. The first player to yell out the correct answer can steal the point. Whoever has the most points wins. If you win, you get to walk out of here with your life. If you lose, you also have to leave. I have work tomorrow. Is everybody ready?
Yes.
Okay. Iffy, you're up first.
All right.
They want me to do things for them.
I think that they know that you're one of these very rare people who can see them, so you need to help them.
What if they don't want to help?
I don't think that's the way it works.
I need help for sure.
Oh, I know Haley Joel Osment's voice so well. Also, Bruce Willis. Two discernible voices, and literally the plot was right there for it. The Sixth Sense. And that's what I was like, and Signs.
Then I become the host.
At first I thought it was Poltergeist, and I was like, wait a minute, that's not right.
All right, Drea, you're up next.
Better be as easy as that one.
Yeah, seriously, it's The Village.
What if it was our time? What if we were not meant to get off that plane? What if there is a design, then it's not finished?
By walking off the plane, you've cheated death. You have to figure out when it's coming back at you.
Is that Final Destination?
Yes! I thought it was Lost.
The we only thing with
the island.
Luce?
I'm so scared.
I'm ready.
Everyone knows
knows he isn't real.
That's modern oral folklore.
Everyone except Helen Lyle.
Bring it up. It ain't safe around here.
That don't scare too easy.
That was extremely difficult. Am I wrong? Everyone knows he isn't real, except for maybe he is. I mean, I don't, that's not right. I can't, all I can think of is the Mothman prophecies, and I know that's wrong.
Candyman.
Oh, shit!
I just did the Nerdificent episode, so I know the name of the character that was mentioned.
Of course! Yeah. Oh, my God. But the other two came out when I was, like, a grown person, and I saw the trailers. Yeah. I never saw the trailer for Candyman.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got a little...
Is that what I get for bragging too much about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, now I take the spooky crown now.
I live in a Halloween store.
All right, Joelle, are you ready?
Sort of.
For the last year, four friends have kept a secret.
Are you on drugs? No. Then what is wrong? I've had a rough year.
But not all secrets stay buried.
It's I Know What You Did Last Summer, right? Maybe?
Okay, I'm like, no. Lucy's so sad right now.
Thank you so much.
All right, Iffy. Here we go.
The students at Harrington High have always suspected their teachers were from another planet.
Is this going to be on the test?
This is the test.
This time, they're right.
The faculty?
Wow, I've never heard of this film before.
The faculty is so good.
The thing was where they had to snort the coke, right, to get it.
And it's by the guy who did Dawson's Creek.
And Scream. It's Kevin Williamson.
Faculty is fun.
John Stewart is in it.
Oh, he sure is.
Yeah. And the mom from Carrie, Piper Laurie, is in it.
Yeah. Wow. All right, Drea. You ready?
Terrified, yes.
A nightmare.
No.
Unlike anything you have witnessed. Is born. Because within these walls, the unholy is unleashed.
Oh God, that one's hard because that's pretty much the description of 90% of horror films made for a decade. The nightmare part makes me want to say Nightmare on Elm Street, but I'm pretty sure I would have heard something else before then. And so Holy Halls makes me think Saw?
No. I'm thinking, is it House on Haunted Hill?
Is it The Relic?
It's tough a little bit with these trailers sometimes because they're either like
super on the nose
or completely vague. I'm going to give you the answer.
A phantom in the opera is on the loose. Yeah. Okay.
Hellraiser.
Oh my God. I was literally about to say it. I didn't know you were going to give it to me. I was literally about to say it. I promise. I swear to God. I was just getting ready
to
say
Hellraiser.
Don't give him a point. You don't need to give me a point. I'm already ahead. But I'm already in the lead.
That's fair.
I don't need the point.
That's fair.
But swear to God, I was just about to say Hellraiser because the hell in between these walls.
Yeah.
Context clues.
My bad, Pinhead. My bad.
All right. Joelle.
You're wait,
right.
No, I didn't
Lucy.
Go yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Lucy. I'm so sorry.
Let the woman redeem herself.
I just dug my nails into my legs.
The house looks just like the one next to it. And the one next to that. And the one next to that. A young couple live in it.
Give Ken a kiss.
You are so obnoxious.
With their three children. And something more.
Poltergeist?
Yes!
Wow.
Congratulations.
Yay.
That woman, I got it.
I didn't breathe that entire time.
It's also funny because that description, I'm like, the house that looks just like the one next to it.
Yeah, I know.
Man, horror stories really have a nice baseline, don't they?
Yeah, I was going to say Stepford Wives.
But then the voices weren't of that time period.
And they didn't have three kids.
Oh, the house. What is the house on the third house on the left? Like, there's a bunch of house ones, you can say. Yeah.
All right, Joelle,
yes,
are you ready?
Yes.
100,000 years ago, it found its way into our galaxy. Trapped in the frozen wasteland of Antarctica, it could not escape.
I know it. I know it. But the words are escaping me. The thing.
Ah, yes.
Oh, nice. Gosh.
We were all you were absolutely the... Like the king lion, and we're like, is he done with that carcass? We're ready.
All right, Iffy.
All right.
Jay, you awake?
What did you do?
You're not gonna believe me, and I need you to remember what I'm saying.
This thing, it's gonna follow you. Somebody gave it to me, and I passed it to you.
It follows? You can't start off with this thing. It follows you.
All right. Let's move on.
Yes.
Drea.
Yes.
Here we go.
Mac Daddy discovers a magic flute.
It's all I want right here.
He becomes the richest man in hip-hop.
Hey, get these losers out.
But when three young rappers...
Kind of like Robin Hood. Yeah, we're going to be robbing in the hood.
It says too much.
Stumble onto his musical treasure. Everyone will have to pay the piper.
Is this Leprechaun
God
in the hood?
God damn it.
Wow. You did that, Jay.
How did you figure it out?
Here's how I figured it out. I know the movie we're talking about today, which takes place in the hood.
Yeah.
That trailer sounded racist, and I thought, well, what's the only other racist-sounding horror film I know? Leprechaun in the Hood.
All right, Luce.
Okay.
How you feeling?
I'm really sweaty.
You got this, Luce.
Thank you.
Sometimes the world of the dead gets mixed up with the world of the living.
As you can see, the housework has been rather neglected since the servants disappeared almost a week ago.
Do you mean they just vanished?
Into thin air.
The Others!
Yes!
Speaking of crazy twists.
I love that movie!
It's such a good movie!
People shit all over that movie for like two...
They were wrong.
For a long time. And now I feel like everyone's like, oh, it's such a gorgeous ghost movie.
Yeah. Like, I think girls when the movie came out were like, this is my jam.
Exactly.
Well, just that flip at the end and you're like, ah!
It is a solid... Most times in horror films, like the reveal... You are already down with that one is so artfully done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And makes so much sense. Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel shoehorned.
And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. It
just destroys you emotionally.
All right, Joel.
Yes, sir.
Here we do.
Let's do.
Has anyone ever buried a person up there?
May the Lord make his face to shine upon you.
You're thinking thoughts. That's not thought out.
Daddy's gonna do something really bad.
You're thinking of putting him up there. Don't deny the thought hadn't crossed your mind.
Pet Cemetery.
That one I love. We all knew, but having Fred Gwynn come in there and just solidify it—beautiful.
Oh man, I just got into that film last year when the remake came out, and someone was like, "Have you seen the original?" I was like, "No." They're like, "Fix your life." I was like, "All right," and I did. It's wonderful.
So good.
It's amazing. It's directed by a woman. I'm like, who hides all these great films directed by women from men? Personally, like
the
insulted,
patriarchy,
right? Terrible. Terrible.
All right, Iffy.
All right.
This is your last one.
Oh my gosh. Pins and needles.
No Richter scale can measure it.
They're coming!
No scientist can explain it.
Bert, they're under the ground!
You didn't get penetration even with the alpha gun.
And no one knows what to call it.
Megaworms or suckers or suckoids.
Tremors. And it's probably still rerunning on Sci-Fi right now.
Right.
Well, there's like
second.
Six of them.
Yeah, and they were playing. That's my one Tremors memory is every time I turned on Sci-Fi, they were playing Tremors, one of them. And then they had like a series, right? That they tried.
Really?
I was like, they really. Mm-hmm. No, Sci-Fi, it seemed like that was the only thing they had the rights to.
It was called the Tremors Network for a long time before Sci-Fi.
Yeah. They're like, we got to pay our respect.
All right, Drea, you ready?
Yes.
Nothing bad's gonna happen, Sam.
Did he think that about my dad before he died?
Okay.
He sees things as they are, that one.
I promised to protect you if he promised to protect me.
Oh my God. Did he hurt anyone?
The boy has significant behavioral problems.
This monster thing has got to stop, all right? It's just a book.
Is this the J.A. Bayona?
Oh my gosh, look at these two Steelers getting ready to open their mouth and steal.
I'm going to let them.
The Babadook?
Oh, for God's sake. You know what it is? It's because he sounded more British than Australian. It sounded more British than Australian.
Did Joel and I both get that point? Or?
Yeah, you both can get it.
Hell yeah.
That's okay.
Good work.
Wait. Honestly, I you felt like faster. Joel got
a little
it
bit, first. A little bit. We ended at the same time, though.
I already said I want all of us to win, okay?
Yeah,
sorry.
You're splitting these points up.
That's going to hurt me. I'm going to think of that later and be like, oh, man.
I mean, the fact that they left you left the word book in there. That
I know.
Okay, Luce, here we go.
Someone is playing a deadly game. Someone who's seen one too many scary movies. Now, he's taken his love of fear.
Hello?
Hello, Sydney.
Oh. One step too far.
All right. Do you like scary movies?
It's Scream! Whatever, if he got the sixth sense, that, I wish he could get points by knowing it quickly.
I mean, once you hear Sydney, it's
well,
over.
That was, oh, that's the thing. I wanted to prove that I knew it in, like, the first line. That's
okay.
A real fan. Okay, sorry.
I have one more.
Okay.
For Joelle.
Ready.
He was locked in a room with a girl who went in alive and came out in a rubber bag.
No one knows where it came from or who it will visit next.
Nancy? There's something wrong with you. You're imagining things.
Nancy, damn it. That name is ringing some bells.
Dre has a face like she knows what
it is. Dre does definitely know. Is it Jeepers Creepers?
Nightmare on Elm Street. That's the Nancy movie.
As the Babadook will haunt you.
Yeah, well, that's what haunt Jesus. We'll trade our hauntings.
Wow. Wait, I love it. Iffy, did you get all of them?
Yes, I got all of them.
Nice job.
I have an announcement.
Yes.
I have a final question for all of you.
Oh.
That's worth 2 points.
Oh, ooh. You asshole, Casey.
I love it.
Are we all, we're all tied, right? Because if you got all of his, but we stole one, yeah. And you stole one.
I'm only up by one,
that's
if I'm
correct.
Counting correctly.
Okay, okay,
which
okay.
Means Casey created the super question that will beat me if I doesn't.
Do
this is truly a sick and twisted game. Whoever shouts out the answer first, you don't have to wait to the end of the trailer.
Beneath the city of New York are living catacombs. An endless maze of subterranean tunnels.
Chud!
Unfit for anything.
That was me, I
you
was
got
first!
It. Yeah.
What is the name of this movie?
Chud.
Chud.
A cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers. Any extra points for that?
Deep, deep cut for me.
Yeah, it makes me mad that I didn't get it because that was a running joke at midnight where someone would always put Chud as an answer to like almost every like joke.
It's
setup.
One of the best references in The Simpsons. It's like Homer versus the City of New York.
Yeah.
And Marge is like, well, of course you'll hate New York if all you focus on are the pimps and Chuds. And it taught me about Chud.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled. I feel like this will put me back in April Wolf's good graces. Yay, go
Iffy,
game!
Can you take us home?
Yeah, I guess I can after something was taken from me.
Oh, that's right. Who won then?
Oh, man.
That's with that final 2 points.
We're going to take a break.
I feel like it was... How does math work?
But when we come back, we'll be talking about Tales from the Hood.
She was a winner.
Just as soon as we hear from another one of the shows on Maximum Fun.
Hello, my name is Tusk Henderson, and I am an outdoorsman.
Are you looking for a new comedy podcast? This month's episode of Beef and Dairy Network podcast has as its guest the wonderful Nick Offerman, playing the part of Tusk Henderson, adventurer and outdoorsman.
Think about fitting yourself, a month's worth of provisions, and a half-ton cow into a kayak.
So if you've never listened to the show before, this might be a good place to start.
I string a bowstring between her horn tips, and I can fire a spear off the top of her head. And took in some very delicious cod.
So, if you're after a new comedy podcast, why not try the Beef and Dairy Network from Maximum Fun? Download it now!
You flip a cow upside down, they make an excellent toboggan.
Welcome back to Who Shot You? I'm your host, Iffy Wadiwa. In the studio with me are...
Drea Clark.
Luce Tomlin-Brenner.
Joelle Monique.
And today we're talking about Tales from the Hood. And since it's an anthology, I thought it would be best if we all tell a synopsis of each of the stories. And I'll start with the general frame of the movie. So we all love a horror anthology. I love Tales from the Dark Side, which we'll talk about that more in discussion. But it starts off with these three gang members who are pulling up to the mortuary to do some kind of, it seems like they're there for the shit.
Getting drugs.
Yeah, but they call it the shit, but, you know,
if you're right from
the hood that the tales are from, you know it's drugs. And so they pull up, and they're greeted by the mortician, who is played by Clarence Williams III. He's very eccentric, kind of creepy, but he's also, like, very extra, too. And he insists on opening a casket, showing a body, and telling the story about the person in the casket, which leads us in a rogue cop revelation about a former black cop who witnessed essentially a hate crime. And now he's hearing the ghost of the person who was murdered in his head. And it leads to him leading those cops back to the place where they did the crime, leading those cops to the grave. And then horror ensues. And Drea, why don't you tell us about Boys Do Get Bruised?
Oh, that title. So Boys Do Get Bruised is about a young sort of 8 to 10 year old boy who is new to school, and his very kind teacher, whom I adored and is the most beautiful, compassionate man that I'll talk about for the rest of my life if given the chance, notices that he has bruises. And the kid mentions that there's a monster at home and the teacher wants to investigate. And the kid, in the meantime, has taken it upon himself that he starts drawing out his sadness and fears to try and get on top of it. So it you know, moves along where the teacher enters the kid's home to try and suss out what's going on. And then more bruises ensue.
And then, Luce, why don't you tell us about the KKK comeuppance?
Great title. I really loved this one. It is loosely based on, obviously, David Duke. Mm-hmm. And it's about this racist white guy running for governor in a southern state where he moved specifically to basically win by buying a plantation house. And he's just, it's not even very comically over the top racist. He's basically the way a lot of our politicians are now. And in this plantation house are a bunch of dolls that were made by a slave woman who worked at that house. And all these dolls have the souls of the former slaves in them. And the dolls start systematically killing and torturing him and the people around him.
As they should.
And why don't you, Joelle, tell us about the hardcore convert?
I would love to talk about Jerome Crazy K. Johns, otherwise known as Lamont Bentley.
The late Lamont Bentley.
So sad. Crazy K, imagine, like, if... who's the guy who's always shooting off on Looney Tunes?
Yes, Yosemite Sam.
Yes, okay, imagine Yosemite Sam, but he's like a gangster, right? And he just shoots whatever he sees when he's angry. It's just crazy. Finally gets caught. He gets shot, taken to prison. He survives miraculously, but prison turns out to be sort of more of like a purgatory where he has to look at all of the injustices ever done to every black American and ask himself why he's made the decisions he's made in his life. It is a wild story that eventually links us back to our original story when we find out that the people who shot him are actually the boys who went to the mortuary.
And which it is revealed in one of the most referenced by me pieces of cinema. Welcome to hell.
Yeah,
and
so
Clarence Thomas, which that is the one, you know, the effects are hidden miss in this movie. But the effect of him turning into the devil terrified me as a
scary
child.
Especially,
did you see this young?
Oh, yeah. And especially since I did not, you know, it's a huge twist that is like, oh, yeah, you've been dead this whole time. You are in hell and I'm the devil. Oh boy, that fucked me up. So like,
that was the first time your teeth went soft.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not body horror, so it was more just but yes, that's the arc of the movie. But I guess we can talk about each kind of
story. Well, I'd love to know when, because this was my first time seeing
it. Oh, really?
It. Yeah. And the, because it is, it's from 1995, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is a film that's almost 25 years old. And you can tell from the synopsis as we just, all four of these stories and the framework are so relevant today that it bummed me out on a level I was not anticipating. Oh, wow. I enjoyed watching it. Like, the movie didn't bum me up, but I was like,
yeah, it's just
wouldn't
like,
it be nice if some of this felt a little more in the like rear resolved. View rather than like, but like the very first, it's really fascinatingly structured because the very first episode, if you will, is the one about the white police who are just targeting this black man in the neighborhood because he's calling out bad cops. And it's so real. I almost, like, I mute a lot of horror. I love horror films, but I will mute sections if I'm like, too much, but I want to keep going.
Yeah.
And I almost wanted to mute that and then was like, no, you keep watching this. Like, it was like watching When They See Us. Like,
yeah.
No, lady, you watch this. And I was not expecting that kind of reaction from something called Tales from the yeah. Hood.
It was a very Rodney King-esque style video, if you've ever seen the yeah. original Rodney King yeah. video of, like, a lot of using their batons on his, like, ribs and stuff, which just gets me. I don't know if you've ever been punched in the ribs. You know, it's like, yeah. it's not a good space to be hit.
Yeah.
I kind of, what did I want to compare it to? It gave me In the Heat of the Night, but if instead of making friends with the cops, Sidney Poitier became a drunk and yeah. like really upset about the whole situation.
Yeah. Just more about the overall frame of the movie. It is interesting because, yeah, whenever you had the Hood in the 90s, it usually, like, the Leprechaun movie wasn't that great. But, yeah, you did have, like, great black minds behind this. Like, very woke minds when mm-hmm. the production company is 40 acres and a mule.
It was by Tweed. Yeah, it was yeah. produced by Tweed.
Yeah, I didn't know that when I was a kid. I assumed yeah. that it was, like, going to be not...
Yeah,
like,
it's one of the
offensive.
Reasons I didn't watch it was because I genuinely thought it was going... Because he made Fears from a Black Hat. Fear
of a Black Hat. Yeah. yeah.
I was expecting this, and why I skipped it, because I thought it was like a Wayans Brothers yeah. type like parody.
yeah.
And I've never been into those of any sort of background. And so this was much more intense than I was expecting.
Well, and it's even, and this isn't even a reach to say at all in the least, and I'll defend this, where this was like Get Out before Get Out. It is mm-hmm. taking, like, you know, the fears of black people. Like, every one of these stories are tentpoles of things affecting the black people, black community. You have police brutality. You have domestic abuse. You have just flat out racism, the KKK. And then it ends with just the gang violence. So, like, it like, looking at it from that perspective, it really didn't let me, I really didn't notice how ahead of its time this movie was.
Totally.
Like, if this movie came out today, it would, like, all the film nerds and every, you know, film Twitter would be blowing up at how smart and prolific it was. But this came out in a time where black movies were swiped and, you know, called just that, black movies, which is why I was excited. I think this is a fun time to kind of discuss that, where, like, you couldn't have too many black people in a movie this at this time, because then it's just a black movie mm-hmm. and no one wants to, you know, it's not going to be as watched.
And, like, black people don't need to see, like, this is stories yeah. that yep. white people need to
yeah.
ingest.
That's why
more,
in a weird way,
even...
yeah, my things of paralleling it with When They See Us, the Ava DuVernay, like, obviously this is a completely different story,
yeah.
but it was the kind of thing of, like, oh no, I'm the audience that should be taking this yeah. in, because the people who have felt this pain already are familiar with this road and journey, and I need to get on it.
I also feel like there's an element, if you think, like, back to 1995 and what types of films were accessible to black people, there's just an element of, like, oh, hey, it's my culture.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's how we talk.
Yeah.
The costuming specifically, I was like, oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Send
oh, yeah.
me all the way back.
Also, like, you know, it was just so, like I don't want to sound like I'm surprised, but I think it is like, I really start to feel the effect of how black movies tend to be panned and the quote-unquote general mm-hmm. idea of it, that I am like, oh no, this was a very smart, poignant movie that existed that no one just paid enough attention
no,
to.
No, exactly. It made me feel gross because I was just like, this is terrible that this movie is so good. And no, and especially, I don't know if you were raised like this, but it was definitely like, well, those are black movies, which is like, even from very liberal parents, white parents, you know, but it's like, I'm like, I can't believe this movie has been out and no one else, like white people, don't talk about it. And this is like a very important horror movie.
Well, one of the reasons it's so good is, you know, we've talked a lot about how a female director, when we talked about Hustlers, when we talked about how having a woman behind the camera and how women are presented and that there can be questionable moments or sexuality, like, but that in the hands of someone who gets that experience, how much it means. And for me, I did, like, in my muting, I had to pause, and I was like, I need to make sure that there's a black filmmaker behind this, because I felt like there was, but it would have changed a lot of how I, and I also don't think a white filmmaker could have made this movie, but part of it, especially when it gets to the end, and like I'm saying, the structure of the order that they tell these stories and how they each make you feel, the fourth story, to me, is one of those like really problematic discussions, because it is the gang member who he has the
Crazy
like Clockwork Orange style, like he's having all of these images inundated, and having a black female doctor, scientist, or whatever,
women's studies professor, yeah, I feel like.
Right. And she's basically like, think of who did you kill, and he's like, only black people, and I'm like, the idea of a filmmaker taking on the concept of black on black crime, which is nothing but like, I'm like, I can't be far enough away from that. And so for him to take that on and put it forth in this really complex way that also managed to have the reveal of a weird alien, do you know what I mean? There's like creatures and scares, and there's so much work going on here.
Oh yeah. The second story was memorable for me just because I was a kid who drew a lot and it was really cool. But the third one is hands down because of the stop motion.
The stop motion is good.
Is so creepy. Mm-hmm. And all
and they
these
animate
dolls.
The faces of the dolls. Which I really love too.
Oh my gosh.
And the David Duke character is so spot on to exactly who we've been dealing with this whole time.
The third one's also unique because it's the only one you're watching where the whole time you're like, man, I hope those villains get this guy.
Yeah,
where are the bad
true.
Guys? Bring in the bad guys.
Where the lead character's just the bad guy.
Exactly.
There's like a scene where he actually uses the American flag to beat a picture of a black woman who was a slave a black slave. And he's like beating black people with the American flag. And I was just like, ooh, this imagery is so spot on.
Also, it's Corbin Burnson. Like, it was very hard to watch him play this.
Yes.
But it was, this came out in 95, and David Duke ran for Louisiana governor in 1991.
Ah.
And was in second place in the primaries. It was like extremely close to it.
Jeez.
And then in the late 80s, he was in the State House of Representatives for like 3 or 4 years. So he was elected. He ran for president and got 500,000 votes. Like, when people are like, obviously, you guys all know this, but when people say the thing about Trump, like, how could people vote for him? Like, people voted for David Duke, an actual Klan Grand Wizard.
Some people are hateful.
Yeah.
Always have been.
And just real quick, we'll wrap up to the last one and combine it with the finale, which is Crazy K, which, this one was cool because it also had that like sci-fi element to it, which I always love. I think you hit the nail on the head of like, you know, it's usually defensively brought up black on black violence, but there is like a problem. So to really like the stuff they were saying was just like boom. And I think you're right. It is like the pacing of it, not only to weave the story, but to see all of the other things affecting the black community. It really does make the fourth one hit home of being like, with all of this stuff that we have to deal with, why are we also being a problem? Like that was the message I got in the placement.
It's a very black intellectualist look at the problem, though, which sometimes gets complicated. It's not to the level of like a Baby Boy or Ice Cube's movie.
Boys
in the Hood, which has a much more like, I've very much closely lived this lifestyle, could have been me on the other side. It's a lot more, I think, maybe judgy than those other two examples. Yeah. And I would be interested to, I would like to screen this movie, maybe even just this part, for like a modern black audience. The flash mob of lynching video was so much. And I had to think, like, again, in trying to place it in time and in context, like, in 1995, those images are pretty much in a history book.
Yeah.
So we're not televising images like that. We're not getting a lot of films with images like that. And mm-hmm. so you don't know. And so there's something to be said for, like, okay, here they are in a collective space, so you can understand in a very brief kind of way that history and that trauma. But I did like the idea of jail being like a purgatory, this idea of just waiting in a stalemate, the idea of the kind of juxtaposing solitary with, you know, just being there and alone with your thoughts and having to come to terms with like who you are. I think it would have been interesting if Crazy K was maybe more of a well-rounded individual instead of just so angry.
They did go hard on one language, but it's another reason I thought that it seemed very intentional that there was the black female scientist corrections officer, whatever she was.
I swear to God, she's an angel. She was like, because it sounded to me like she was
Of course, at the reveal at the end. But it was still, even if she wasn't a human entity, she was still a black female actress. And so what you were getting in terms of balancing out, like, you can come to terms with how your actions are affecting all of us. Or you can be here because some of us have come to, I don't know.
Yeah,
so I
think it's the 10-foot pole of it.
Well, my take on it is this was 1995. This is the height of gangster rap. This is like, as someone who, Compton native, N.W.A., it's like gangster rap has glorified, you know, gang violence so much that like Snoop Dogg in the game had to be like, hey, let's stop, cut this out. So I think it's because it was that ramping up that it's not as like nuanced, because it's still like fairly new, you know, like it's like a very new phenomenon of these guys, and you don't really see that. I don't even think the information was maybe out there to, like, they didn't have anywhere to go, and it's a lot of people from broken homes, and there's a lot of people searching for community or for protection, because the Bloods were started in the retaliation of the Crips to protect communities, and then that got involved. So I think that that's maybe why, and I do, but I 1,000% agree with you. And you know, me and Spike, I love him, but he does have a take, and you know, a lynch mob by the same person who ended his last movie with someone who just got murdered at the Charleston riots. I was like, we got to wrap this up, though, because we're going super long. Sorry to end right there.
Sorry, Casey.
But, gosh, there's so many good things I want to talk about. So, like, you know, I know the Who Shot Fam always is hitting us up on Twitter. There's a question, sometimes anthology movies can be inconsistent. What makes a good anthology film? And I really wanted to talk about that because I really love Tales from the Dark Side, but we don't have time. So ask me about that on Twitter. Twag. It's a new feature where you tag and then you shake your butt at the camera.
You would love
me
that.
Me and Drea and Joelle and Luce, so we can keep that conversation going. But we have to give our final review of Tales from the Hood. So would you screen it, stream it, or skip it?
I don't think screen it's an option, but I do think people should stream this. I think it's great, and I would love to do a double feature of this and Get Out with a very long conversation afterwards.
Oh yeah, bring Jordan in, because I was looking for moments where Get Out was referencing. I was like, I'm missing it, but I know it's got to be here somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I love the idea of it being like, it should be screened. When I say screen it, I mean go out there and do it.
I mean, literally, seriously, the seeds in my head, and I'm a bug Drea and see if there's any possibility in what hoops we'd have to jump to, because I think that would be a fun
No, I don't think everyone you can't watch it fast enough.
But we'll be right back.
Joelle, did you
almost skipped me, Effie?
Oh,
would
my
god. Screen it.
I don't give a fuck. If you didn't
see
the movie, that's a
reference to Crazy K.
That was really well done.
It's currently streaming on Starz, so if you have access
that's
to
how
that,
I watch
yes, all of us.
Thanks to my friend Mary for her login.
Exactly. Find a friend like a Mary and get your stream on. But yeah, definitely do look around for it. If it screens near you, like, take a gaggle of your favorite black people and go see it and like get some reactions.
So you heard it. But we'll be right back after we hear from another show from Maximum Fun.
Fairhaven's a city in a bubble. An actual bubble. It keeps the monsters out. Most of them, anyway.
I never liked the look of movies on Blu-ray. For my money, Betamax is the superior format.
I'm thinking of deleting Facebook and going back to MySpace.
As far as beverages go, I'm just kind of over water.
Though I guess at any given party, you're gonna meet some dudes like that, even if you're not in the middle of a nightmarish wasteland. Bubble, the sci-fi comedy from MaximumFun.org. Just open your podcast app and search for Bubble.
Welcome back to Who Shot You? I'm your host, Ify Wadiway. In the studio with me are...
Drea Clark.
Luce Tomlin-Brenner.
And Joelle Monique.
Now it's time to answer a call from the Who Shot line. I have a feeling this one's going to be spooky. Casey, play the call.
Hey all, this is Rob in Illinois, and we are in the month of Spooky, aka October, and I was interested in who your favorite side characters are in horror movies. A lot of conversation gets talked about with the final girl, but who's your favorite side piece of horror? So I'm a huge Gale Weathers fan, shout out to the Scream franchise, not excluding the third installment. Still have love for that one. So let me hear it, guys. What do you think? Who are your favorite side characters in horror movies? Thanks so much. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Luce, very mad about that Scream 3 exclusion.
It's, Scream 3 is great. And no, it was filmed, part of it was filmed in this building that we're in
so
right
crazy.
Now. I actually had Scream as well. Yeah, yeah. I also had Scream Down, but Gale Weathers is fine. But like Stu...
Is that
incredible.
Matthew Lillard
gives one of the
April
best performances.
April Wolf just talked about this on Twitter, and it really
is. It's one of the best performances ever, and it's so good, in fact, that every actor in each Scream movie after that, each killer, tries to give a version of that performance and cannot do it. And
the line that she pointed out, because he just keeps getting stabbed, and he has this enormous knit sweater on, and he the best line is just... My mom and dad are going to be so mad at me.
Oh, it's my favorite. Because he's, it shows them for like little punk assholes that they are. And then the whole series about toxic masculinity. I freaking love Scream. I also said Nancy from The Craft because she's got great style, a fast car, and she will fuck with a shitty ex-boyfriend for you by creating a glamour, which is super cool.
Oh, nice. Can I go real obscure?
Okay.
Yes.
So in 1933, there's a motion picture called The Invisible Man.
Ooh, classic. God.
Thank you. And it was a James Whale, so it was pre-code, and Claude Rains played The Invisible Man. And in that film... it starts like the Invisible Man rolls up to this inn, and it's kind of like a bar with an inn. The innkeeper's wife is played by this woman named Una O'Connor, who is one of my favorite characters in all of filmdom, but especially in horror, because her whole thing is, first she's like a super grumpy, like put out innkeeper of like, ugh, this guy, you want a room? Oh, fine. She goes, every request he has, oh my God. What? You want me to block out all the windows? Like all these things. And then she becomes the most maniacal yeller you've ever heard. And there are at least three YouTube things that are just Una O'Connor yelling in the Invisible Man. And because of that, you have a place in my heart forever. Oh. There have to be. If there's not, I'll give somebody $50. So there has to be someone on YouTube who did that.
My favorite sidekicks from horror movies are from horror comedies. So Marty Feldman as Igor in Young Frankenstein. Just such a heel to every single joke. Like the eye gags. Fabulous. Just all of it is so perfect. He's precious and I love him. And then I'm bending the rules here. I know we said horror movie. I know it's a Halloween episode. There are moments of horror in Josie and the Pussycats. And...
corporate horror, totally.
Totally. And what is her name? I just had it. Hold on.
Parker Posey's?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just to be that evil in heels is everything to me. And we need more of them. We could also maybe say Michelle Pfeiffer is Catwoman. throw all of it in. She's not really a sidekick, but she's the sidekick to Batman in the movie, maybe? I'm stretching the rules here.
Yeah,
these are my
favorites.
Okay, how about the two best friend girls in Halloween?
Oh, I wrote that down, PJ Souls, because yeah, she says totally the whole time, yeah, and she's the best death scene, because her character is so great, because when she's getting strangled by Michael Myers on the phone with Laurie Strode, she's the type of girl that Laurie Strode thinks she called her to fuck on the phone, because she thinks she's having sex, but she's being strangled, yeah, and I think that is
good.
A great caricature.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, stop doing that.
She just,
yeah. They're my favorite.
Yeah.
Every choice, though, those girls make,
yeah,
which in most of those choices are just about having sex while babysitting.
Yeah, yeah. Washing her, the other one, Annie's like washing her pants while being naked. She just took her pants
Why
off
not?
And walking around the house pantsless.
I mean, if
comfortable.
I think my favorite side from the Halloween series is definitely going to be LL Cool J
and Halloween
H2O.
I love him. It's got, it's really important.
I'm going to close it strong with the most recent and probably the most reasonable. Some would argue almost stole the show. Lil Rel and Get Out.
Oh my God, so good.
That
so
is
good.
The best friend that anyone can have. That's the friend you want in a horror movie who's like, yes, I believe everything and I'm going to risk looking like an idiot telling all the cops.
Can I add one more?
Yes.
Detective Lipton, a.k.a. is it Donnie Wahlberg? Yes, Donnie Wahlberg in Dead Silence is constantly shaving for no reason. He's just walking around like a crazy person, doesn't believe anybody, but is willing to shoot on sight, which, I mean, in a horror movie is a thing that you need. So Donnie Wahlberg did what he needed to do in that movie.
Well, thank you, everyone who has called in. The number for the Who Shot line is WSY-803-1664. And now it's time for our Staff Picks. I was trying to make it
that's very scary.
Drea.
My staff pick is a film by two women who actually were just recently on Switchblade Sisters talking about this film. And it's called Greener Grass. And like most of the films I seem to pick, it was at Sundance this year. I can't help it. I'm a company man. But it's wonderful. It's recently out. It's in a few theaters in some cities, but it's also available video on demand, and I think on like Amazon and stuff currently. It is so great and absurd. It is a suburban nightmare factory of weirdness and female pettiness, and it's David Lynchian with a lady twist, and it's so great and strange, and I think you should check it out. And the directors, Jocelyn DeBoer and Don Luby, I just did a panel with them this weekend, and they're so incredible and smart and stylish and talented.
I can't wait to see it.
Please support them. Greener Grass.
Greener Grass. I saw a trailer for that.
Yes.
Bonkers.
That's true. Like, hopefully me saying something will say, watch the trailer and you'll be
there's no way you can turn it down. You have to watch
it. Oh, yeah. I'm in. Yep.
Okay. Well, I wanted to go real deep and pick something on theme a little bit. One of my favorite movies that I've seen as I've been doing festival stuff, one of my favorite shorts is this really amazing short called Hair Wolf.
Ooh.
And it is the synopsis of it. It's still on the festival circuit, but I think it'll be available soon because it was like at Sundance and it was at South by Southwest this year. But the synopsis is a staff of black hair salon members fend off a strange new monster, white women intent on sucking the lifeblood from black culture.
How have I not heard about it?
It is amazing. My friend
That's
Trey
great.
Harris is in it in an incredible role. It's by a woman, Mariama Diallo. I hope that's correct. I haven't heard it said out loud before. But I really recommend it. It's making the festival circuit, and it's got a really incredible poster that looks like black salon, like a beauty box
Hair
from
wolf.
The 70s.
Oh, my God,
it
guys.
It's amazingly
so good.
Styled.
And
yeah.
It's so stylish.
It's like an old pink moisturizer, but it's blue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, if your dad used that blue gel in his hair, you guys, you know it. Oh, my God. I can't wait to see this movie.
Everyone will love it. It's so...
Yeah, thank you, Iffy. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's like really funny. It's creepy. Highly recommend. See if you can get it anywhere. And if you want to stream something great, I recommend Spider Baby. Sid Haig just died. It's like my favorite Sid Haig movie, and it's from the 60s, and it's black and white about cannibals, a family that ages backwards and becomes cannibals.
Amazing.
A tale as old as time.
Yeah, you can stream that on Amazon right now, since nice. I gave you one pick that wasn't
findable.
Well, I'm going to do...
why can't Joel talk?
Oh, my God. I know. This is... I don't know why.
He's done with me. He's like, you're late, and now we're done.
No,
get out of this booth. Damn it.
I don't know why I keep skipping you. Get in on the mic.
Okay, I'm going to make it quick, but I have two. One is a classic, and one is brand new. The new one is Parasite. Guys, I don't know if you're confused, or if you're not sure, or if you're worried. It is brilliant. Like, when
I'm
tell you, it's hard to describe because it's very genre bendy. So at moments it's a horror, at moments it's a comedy, sometimes it's a family drama, but it is entirely just about classism and the struggle. And if you are very poor like me, you're going to way identify in parts that make you question your whole existence. It is mind-blowing. It's so good. Bong Joon-ho is amazing, just fantastic director. Go see it. Don't wait. Please see it in a theater. It's so beautiful. The other one is a movie I mentioned earlier. It's from 2007. It's called Dead Silence, and not enough people have seen it for me to constantly talk about it and understand the glory that is this film. And if you like weird little cult films, it's totally up your alley. Dolls terrify me, and dead ladies in black lace are horrifying. People who live in abandoned theaters. It's got all of that, plus like this really great like life after love story sort of centering the whole thing, and also some pretty good body horror moments. It's phenomenal. Watch it and then tweet me so I can talk to more people about it, please.
Well, I do have one question after seeing Dead Silence.
Yeah.
Do you believe in life after love?
Stop it, Andy. Stop it.
I'm going to keep the short train running, and this is super accessible. It's on YouTube. There's a claymation artist by the name of Lee Hardcastle, who I sent it to Luce.
Oh, it scared
last
the
year.
Shit out of me last
yeah.
year.
So he originally was trying to do a feature called Spook Train, which is an anthology of all these claymation horrors, and now he just decided to release them one by one. He released one last year called Curtains, which is... so terrifying and beautiful because it's claymation, and he just released the second one 3 weeks ago called Cell X, which is completely different, but also it's like of that same horror space, but it's claymation horror, so it's claymation gore, and it really does, he really,
it's legitimately
the
terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, I was so unsettled. You showed it to me in a room. You were like, oh, I gotta go do this meeting, and you left me alone with it. And I was just like sitting in like the corner like, all right, nobody come in here. And
yeah.
then we drove for like half an hour together, and we talked about it almost the
yeah.
entire time.
It's so beautiful, like the claymation and the storytelling within it. It's a very,
it's complex
beautiful,
yeah, and
yeah.
nuanced, and
but
the visuals are very bad,
beautiful.
Bad, good.
but it's Lee Hardcastle, spelled exactly what it sounds like, actually. And it's on YouTube. You can see him. I don't know. I assume he's just gonna wait till each Halloween because the last one was 1 year ago, and then his next one was 3 weeks ago. So I'm not gonna expect it until next year. But it's very good. Check it out. All right. And now it's time for our 5-star reviews. And if you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it on air. Trey, why don't you take this one?
Oh, I will.
Shit.
This is short and sweet from Aloysius. Aloysius. The Ingu Kang is coming from inside the house. That's good stuff.
Love
oh my
Ingu
gosh,
Kang.
I miss Ingu so much.
Thank you so much to Joelle. thank you so much to Luce. Thank y'all both for coming in.
Thanks for
ready
having
to
me.
Rock. Is there anything y'all want to plug before we head out of here?
Yeah, the next issue of Cultured, which I believe is on stands in early November. I can't remember the exact date, but I got to interview Lena Waif and Melina Matsoukas about their new movie, Queen and Slim.
Ooh.
And I really broke my editor with my word count, but it was such a good interview, and I had to get both of them in there. Check that out, and then go see the movie, and please come talk to me about it, because we're going to be talking about it for a long time.
My short horror comedy, Messed Up, is premiering today, Friday, in Atlanta at Horror Films in Hotlanta. So if you are in Atlanta, you can see Messed Up and a bunch of other really amazing horror shorts. It's a really great, well-curated evening. So go see it. And then I have a film podcast if you like hearing me talk about films. It's called You Need to See This.
All right. You always seem so ashamed to be plugging your own podcast.
I feel like it's wrong to talk about podcasts on other podcasts.
No, that's, we add to our podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's about hidden gems and rare finds. So if you're into that kind of thing, tune in to You Need to See This.
Sounds delightful.
If you have a comment or suggestion about this week's show, tweet at us at Who Shot Your Pod. Our Facebook group can be found at www.facebook.com/groups/Who Shot Your Podcast, or send us an email at whoshotya@maximumfun.org. Our producer is Casey O'Brien. Our senior producer is Laura Swisher. This has been a production of Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.